It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning in to the Optimal Health Program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we try to talk about a variety of important things that come up in nutrition, medical literature, and even the average news media. There's a pretty horrible comment and study out that talks about heavy metals in baby and infant food. And Consumer Reports, who's a very reliable organization, does a great deal of work, a great deal of effort testing products, telling you which might be safer than others, a better buy for different products, electronics, appliances. I know my dad has been using Consumer Reports forever. But they recently came out with a big study describing that there are all sorts of heavy metals in baby food. Most people, I think, have either heard this, it's been on the news, but it's horrendous to think that there are so many things that are put into baby food that are damaging the health of our babies and children. So, again, I've seen this through a variety of different media outlets, but Consumer Reports did the study. 70% of the products tested contained worrisome levels of heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, aluminum. I typically will tell people to go online, read this, you know, study for yourself. And I like to get people to read information, and that's why we put articles up on the website. But that's pretty scary to see that there's nothing being done to test these products before they get out in the market. I don't understand. You know? And similarly with medications, some of them, the medication doesn't cause a problem until you see it for a year or so in the population. Then there's some side effect that may be linked to anemia or kidney failure or death. So I think there has to be a great deal more supervision as to what's being put into the population. I think there should be heavy metal testing in all things, all foods, of course. When I've been talking about heavy metals for years, and people kind of took it as a, well, I'm not sure if I believe that. There's hundreds of thousands of articles and studies that support this, of course, in countries throughout the world. And we know that arsenic is found in, you know, regular chicken, not organic, you know, regular chicken, shrimp, rice, apples, and California wine. 30 vineyards are under investigation for that. So you have to keep on looking at what you're bringing into your body and what you're bringing into your environment. Some people use aluminum in deodorant, and that certainly is a risk because you're putting aluminum into an area that's got a lot of blood vessels over and over and over again. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful what fish you might eat, whether or not to, you know, have mercury fillings removed from your mouth. I recommend that people do some chelating with a 24-hour urine to see what metals are coming out, getting an idea as to how much you have stored, and then do some of the chelating process, then remove the filling, and then chelate afterwards to keep pulling those metals out so they don't accumulate and elevate and get higher in amounts into your brain. I've seen people that have had fillings removed and had tremors after removing a few fillings on the upper side of their mouth. Of course, we chelated that out and the tremors went away, but and that's why you don't want to just remove your fillings, because you're going to increase your absorption or inhalation of mercury vapor. So it's dangerous. You have to really look at and understand what you're eating and what's, you know, in and around your body. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you can do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get you up on the air. Let's go to our first caller. It's Joseph in Brooklyn. How are you?
Okay, Dr. Cal.
Yes.
I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Sure.
I have a nephew who has a pretty very bad heart condition. Mm-hmm. And what information he gave me was his refraction, if I'm pronouncing it properly.
Ejection fraction.
Yes, is 8 to 12%.
Well, that's pretty low.
I know. He's not in good shape.
What sort of issue does he have? What led him to have a very weak heart muscle? Was it a cardiomyopathy, a virus?
It wasn't a virus. I guess it was just from hard work, to tell you the truth, because he's a workaholic.
What sort of work does he do?
The construction.
Hard work alone doesn't really make your heart weak. You know, millions and millions of people, and certainly generations prior, have done a great deal of physical work and manual work, and generations as well now, but there's no direct correlation with hard work and heart failure. Stem cells are used, and research dictates this. Research says that stem cells, if you do them intravenously, can help to repair your heart, can help to repair your liver, your kidney, your lungs, your pancreas. That's why, you know, thousands and thousands of studies have been documenting this over many years. A lot of those articles we have on the website so people can see it.
Right. He's had open heart surgery more than once already.
Bypass type surgery, or?
I believe it was bypass.
Well, then maybe the clogging of his vessels over, years have led to pressure on the heart, and that makes the heart muscle a little bit weaker. Typically, you see the heart muscle get a little bigger. You see left ventricular hypertrophy before you start to see failure. How old is he?
He's only about 51 years old.
Is he a smoker? Is he a drinker?
He used to smoke, but he stopped smoking a while back.
No, smoking will contribute to that, and I'm not sure what his diet may have been like, but at this point, if he has a low ejection fraction, then certainly one of the greater options would be to do stem cell therapy. We've seen people that have had, 30% go to 50% or even higher. So I think there's all benefit with it. There's no drawback. It's not a drug that's going to give you a side effect to hurt you. They're your cells. So okay. I think that would be advantageous.
Do you think that the stem cells would possibly help him?
We've seen it help the heart disease and a variety of other diseases, so I imagine it would. I don't see why it wouldn't. And if he needs to lose weight, we'd help him lose weight. If his cholesterol's high, we'd help him with that, blood pressure, et cetera. So we look at the entire person. It's not just like throwing a vitamin or a drug or stem cells at someone, in and of itself or alone. We evaluate the entire picture and maximize the picture as well. Heavy metals also play a role. Mercury certainly plays a role with heart failure. There's been some pretty interesting articles on mercury exposure and a decline in, cardiac contractility.
Okay, so for him to get help, Dr. Cal,
just has to call the office. Yeah,
are we talking like I know you don't quote no prices, but are we talking a significant amount of money for him to be treated?
Well, within the protocols that we've done, again, I don't control all of that. That's controlled by an outside agency, a clinical trial. They set all the fees for that. So if a person has a bad knee, then for one joint it ends up being about $5,000. If you're doing intravenous, which would be for your heart, your lungs, or your liver, your kidney, your pancreas, et cetera, then that ends up being $7,500. Again, I don't create all of that because I have to buy the kits. Patient has to buy the kits from...
The most important thing is to find a way for him to be helped,
Right, of course. So I would imagine if we were to do blood work on him, I'd find a bunch of things because I've done this on many thousands of people in 30 years. So we have seen many things be part of the patient's initial complaints or presenting complaints.
So would you recommend that he would call the office and make an appointment to see you?
Sure. Give a call. Come in. We'll do a consult. Bring copies of prior testing. We'll do some good thorough blood work. We'll do a variety of things that other doctors don't typically do. And then we'll learn a great deal more about him.
Oh, I listen to your show all the time. I have the great respect for what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I remember following one time with you brought someone into St. Francis Hospital.
Yeah.
I was curious how that worked out.
Well,
that it would be the same situation, but...
Well, every patient really is different. One of the more dramatic patients that we brought over to St. Francis was a guy who had a really bad heart valve, and the valve was, barely hanging on, as it were, because he couldn't go up and down a couple of stairs because he had shortness of breath and chest pain. So because I have known Dr. Schlafmitz, Richard Schlafmitz, who's the head of cardiology at all the Catholic hospitals, I called him, and on his cell, because he wears his cell phone around his neck, he's, available, all the time. And I told him what was happening to the patient. I asked him if he could, take care of it, and he sent the ambulance, brought the patient over, and changed the valve that afternoon. And they went through the vein to put a valve in. It's called a transaortic valve replacement, instead of cutting the chest open to do the valve. So the patient was unbelievably happy. I don't think that patient had more than a week or so to live. And luckily, we just got him in, and Dr. Schlafmitz and his team, who are spectacular, by the way, got him in and on the table in no time, and, he was done. So it saved his life. So,
what happened originally when he got the open heart work done? they put the hoses in backwards, and something is it was pumping. His heart was pumping in reverse.
Well, your heart can't pump in reverse. Now, think of it for a minute. When they take a tube, and you could even think of any kind of tube, you know, a garden hose or even the little cardboard tube that toilet paper comes on, just for the sake of the visual. Mm-hmm. If you take a tube and the existing tube where the blood is coming from, that has to go inside the new segment of tube so that the flow is uninterrupted. But if you put the second tube inside where the flow is coming from, that can disrupt the flow and cause a problem. I can't imagine for the life of me that a cardiac surgeon would do that and it wouldn't.
Well, that's what supposedly happened. Anyway, he ended up with getting a pacemaker.
Well, if he had a pacemaker, that means he's got a bad rhythm. So he has enough damage either to his electrical system in the heart to create the need for the pacemaker to create the beat of the heart if it stops or has intermittent drop of the heartbeat. But it sounds like he has a variety of things going on. I would bet the farm he's got some significant or huge exposure to heavy metals, because the one group of things that, you know, creates or is behind the scenes causing both arrhythmias, or the inability to have a normal, regular heartbeat and rhythm, and ejection fraction decline, weakness of the heart, are heavy metals. So I would certainly look at that. That might have been an occupational hazard in his case.
It could very well have been.
What was your other question?
By the way, as far as that's concerned, you feel that if he calls the office and makes an appointment, you can check him out and see if there's...
We'll give him the most thorough workout and evaluation, you know, you've heard of. So, again, the blood test looks at a wide range of things after we, you know, get the questions and examine the patient. So it could be a 25-page blood test. We may also look at his prior testing, cardiac testing, et cetera. If it's, you know, more than 6 or 8 months old, we might do some new testing. So absolutely, it'll be the biggest workup he's had, but the most worthwhile, because then if we do correct things like vitamins, minerals, hormones, get rid of heavy metals, do stem cell therapy, then that's his greatest chance of repair.
Okay, so then just to call the office,
sure,
and make an appointment to see you should be significant enough.
Correct.
Now, he's been out of work a long time. Is that a very costly situation?
No, typically it's not, but you can call the office. They'll go through all that. Do you have another question? Because we have other callers that we need to take calls from.
I have another question on COPD.
Yeah.
A very good friend of mine has it. Could the stem cell straighten that problem out?
We have patients, as you'll see relatively soon. We interviewed a lovely lady who had COPD and really couldn't walk much beyond, you know, the confines of her house. And she came in and her doctor wanted to put her on oxygen and do, you know, all sorts of meds. And she was a little bit, you know, worried about that. And we did the consultation. We ended up doing stem cells probably 2 months ago. Now she can walk around the block 4 or 5 times. She can go out and do shopping. She can drive to the mall and go shopping in the mall as she used to do with one stem cell treatment. There was intravenous, and we did a nebulized stem cell mist to get into topically into the lungs. So she's had a pretty spectacular result, and that's within only a couple of months. Now, some COPD patients are going to vary as to how many cells they have damaged in their lungs. Some people might have more damage than others. The people that have more damage are going to take longer to have that significant result, or to say, wow, I forgot to take my inhaler today. So the number of cells that are damaged, we can't see in any part of your body. However, those people that have joint issues, when we inject joints, those individuals seem to have a quicker response because your knees don't have as many cells damaged as two lungs or as potentially a kidney or a liver or something. So, yeah, it varies depending upon how much damage there. But the results are still there. It just may take a little bit longer for those people that have really bad, severe COPD. That being said, we had two patients a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, a young lady with MS that had no sensation from her elbow to her fingers and from her knees down to her toes. And when we did the intravenous and then the nasal application, within 10 minutes of doing that procedure, after she was just relaxing there for 10 minutes, she said the sensation came back to her arms and her legs and her hands and her feet. And, you know, she documented this. I saw her last Thursday. We wrote this up in the chart. She agreed to do a little 2-minute testimonial so she can say how bad she was and how her results are. We also did a treatment on a gentleman who was in the Army. He was a Ranger or Black Beret. He had multiple concussions from being inside the vehicles when they run over these bombs on the road. So although the steel plating in the bottom of the vehicles is extremely thick and protective, you still get banged around inside the vehicle. So he brought me a spec scan that showed how bad his brain function was. And his memory, his focus was poor, concentration. Verbal skills were still good, but he had headaches, he had neck pain, a dozen, 15 different symptoms. And then similarly, when he got up from after we gave him the nasal approach, his headache was completely gone. And he couldn't believe it. And he's looking at me like I had three heads. He couldn't believe that within one treatment and within 5 to 10 minutes of doing that treatment, the headache and the neck pain was gone. I called both of those patients back, the young lady and the veteran, and I called them in 3 to 4 days because I wanted to see if it was progressing. It absolutely was. And as I say, I saw her last Thursday. So results can be spectacular, but think of it. They're your cells from your body, not a drug, not a chemical, something that your body already has that it needs, and we're just bringing them out so they can get to other areas. So stem cells, I think, is the greatest invention in health or science ever. Thank you so much for your call. The phone number to call the office is 516-794-0404, 516-794-0404. The Plainview office, if you're closer there, is 516-433-3232. The website is www.drcal.net, drcal.net. And we'd love for you to look at the research, the articles, 2,000 articles, 206 on heavy metals, I think 15 videos on stem cells alone. We have 4 more being videotaped in a week or so, and the ones we videotaped a few weeks back should be up on the website soon. A gentleman who had diabetes for many years, in 2.5 months, non-diabetic, no meds, lost some weight. He looks terrific. He says he feels like $1 million. And, you know, again, we'll put these things on site so you can actually hear from the person who had the treatment how well they're doing. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you have insurance issues or problems with your insurance carrier, you may need to learn more about what your options are for different carriers. So individuals that have health insurance questions or issues, I recommend affiliated agency, Joyce Panetta. She's the insurance agent. She has all the answers to your questions. 516-576-0166, 516-576-0166. We've referred lots of people to her, and she's been able to help them out. She's been in the business for many years, I think as long as I've been in practice. Even if you have property or casualty insurance needs, she'll help you out. So you can call her at 516-576-0166. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. Great articles we're going to chat about in just a minute. Vitamin D deficiency, increasing the risk of prostate cancer. Another article about vitamin D and uterine fibroids. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's go to Walter in Staten Island. How are you?
Good morning, Doc. Good afternoon. I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
I have an overactive thyroid.
Okay.
All my other blood work is spot on. I eat a good diet, but the mistake I made was that I took iodorol, which is Lugol solution.
Yeah.
And
why was that a mistake?
I never had a problem with my thyroid. And
yeah, I don't think that taking iodorol, first of all, does much for anybody who's over 40, because we've seen people that have thyroid dysfunctions of every type, because I do a 12-part thyroid blood test. And I don't think iodorol triggers your thyroid to just become overactive. I think, and I can show you evidence of it being related to heavy metal exposure. So as your heavy metals accumulate over life, over time, as you get older, heavy metals may be damaging your thyroid, and that's why a lot of people have autoimmune thyroid disease. I think that's why people have diabetes at a much younger age now, because besides having too much carbohydrate in the diet as a young individual, heavy metals will damage how your pancreas make insulin. Heavy metals damage your heart. So we know they damage your thyroid, and especially in people that have silver fillings, mercury fillings in their teeth. So I wouldn't try to blame it on the iodorol. I just don't see a connection, because thousands and thousands of people that I've seen over the years have taken iodorol. I just don't think it works as you get older, because as your factories are shutting down, you can't expect iodine to just make your factories start opening and working again. So I'd like to see what your heavy metal burden is. I think that's more correlated.
And I'm concerned because my ferritin level's up to 1,500, and that's dangerous, I think.
Well, yeah, ferritin shouldn't be that high. You might have a genetic disorder called hemochromatosis, where your body is storing too much iron. And iron, when it's inside your red blood cell, is a great thing. It's the magnet that brings oxygen into your red blood cells across the lung membrane. And it's wonderful to get that oxygen into your body to create energy. It's great for memory, focus, concentration. And oxygen helps to kill infection. But if there's too much iron outside of the red blood cell, then it becomes a free radical. So that might be a correlation. That may be a problem, you know, with your thyroid. So we'd have to look at all that. I can't, again, guess and say, well, I think it's this or I think it's that because I don't have enough information. But I would come in to do that very thorough blood test and also do blood and urine for heavy metals.
Okay, I'll call the office. Thank you.
Great. Love to help you out, sir. Thank you for your call. There's always something interesting in the picture when you're looking for underlying causes and contributors. And I didn't start or create the idea for looking for heavy metals. The literature on heavy metals has been around forever, for over 100 years. So I didn't create stem cell research. The earliest research we seem to find is 150 years ago. Ernst Haeckel in Germany was one of the first doctors to call it stem cell. So I think the reality is there are things that we should be listening to, looking at research, and looking at more of the unbiased research to understand that there are options of learning about your body and options of helping to correct things. I think, and I wanted to make a point today, some people are looking for the easy way out. I think in life, everywhere you look, there is the quicker way for this and the quicker way for that. And I think in some cases, it's great. You can get on Amazon and order anything you need and have it delivered in no time. I think that's wonderful. But I think also people are primed to think that if I have a symptom, I should just grab a pill, you know, from over the counter, a cream, and just do something to get rid of the symptom right away. Whereas it may be caused by layers of different problems that need to be evaluated and changed. So that's why we always look for underlying causes. When you want to create health in your body, it doesn't take a day or a week or a month. It takes time because you want to create a really strong nutritional foundation, test your blood, get on the right vitamins, make sure you're having good foods, organic foods. I think that if you do a little bit of exercise every day, you're enhancing oxygen, vitamin, mineral, and hormone delivery to all your tissues, so that's important. And we test you for food allergies if we think you might be reacting to something. And more often than not, people have allergy to something that they're eating because 70% of your immune system and your recognition's in your gut. So if you're eating regular food that's not organic, there may be chemicals in it which you could react to besides being allergic to the food itself. Or if the food is GMO, you could react to it. And I see this all day long. And it's to the point where I've been saying this for years. When I see people during consultation, I say, you know what, just hold off on having grain. Don't have any grains for the next couple of weeks until we get your blood work back. A week and a half, 2 weeks, no grain whatsoever, and then tell me how you feel. Everybody says, wow, my stomach bloating or indigestion went away. I lost a few pounds. My headaches have gone. I have a little bit more energy, so There's a lot to do with what's going on in your gut. We also check absorption, digestion, but it does take a little time once you get on that right track, the correct track, to get your body where you want it to be. I'm not saying you won't see benefit. Some people see benefit within days, but that's nice and reinforcing to have them keep doing my recommendations so that they can get better and better over time. And that's why we check you, you know, now and again to document that you're getting those results. So it has to be scientifically documented. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go next to Dina in Manhattan.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Yeah, hi. My question is about a C-reactive protein.
Yeah.
Should I really be worried if my number is 74?
Yes. C-reactive protein is a marker of inflammation in your body. There's two different types. There's a regular C-reactive protein. And the newer one is the high-sensitivity, HSCRP, high-sensitive C-reactive protein. The regular C-reactive protein can be from inflammation in your joint, arthritis. It can be inflammation in your gut, your skin. But the high-sensitive C-reactive protein typically is talking about what's happening inside your blood vessels. So if it's high, it means you have an inflammatory process occurring, which could be adding to plaque in your vessels. Fortunately, there are some simple recommendations to help to change that. Once we take a look at your diet, your vitamin levels, raising up vitamin C, CoQ10, various nutrients might help to bring down the C-reactive protein. If it's infection like a virus, then we have to go after and attack the virus. So it depends upon what your body tells us in the entirety, and then that's what we do to help to correct everything.
I've been having bleeding in a joint because my INR has been going up.
Okay.
Could that be...
Are you on a blood thinner?
Yes, I am.
And why are you on a blood thinner?
Because of AFib.
Okay. So we have to get, as I say, info to be able to document why it's there. So we would do a very thorough blood test, have you bring in copies of your prior tests, cardiac tests, etc., just to see exactly what's happening. Also, I'd be interested in looking at two other things relative to your heart. BNP, B-natriuretic peptide, which is a marker, a protein that can leak from your heart if your heart muscle is getting weak. And that happens with everybody as they age. Some people sooner than others. And I'd also look at galactin, which is another marker of contractility and whether or not your heart's becoming a little weak. So there's a lot to look at that, you know, most doctors don't do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Alrighty. Thank you for the call. Take a look at the website. You'll see some great info, videos there, articles, and we'd love to see you in the office. The website's www.drcal.net, and the office is 516-794-0404. That's Garden City, the, quote, new office. We've been there for a year and a half, and we still call it the new office. And Plainview is 516-433-3232. Okay, phone lines are open if you'd like to call in and do so now. Let's go to Maureen. Hi there. How are you?
Hello?
How can I help you? Yes.
Oh, yes. My name is Maureen. I'm legally blind from macular degeneration.
Okay.
And to make a long story short, they say there's some stealth stuff that's going on, transplants, that could work in the future to give me back some more vision. Is that possible?
It's possible. There are clinical trials ongoing for stem cells for macular degeneration. Even if you look up, and I just plugged into Google Scholar where I look at research, stem cells for macular degeneration, there's 45,100 results. So they are doing this.
Oh,
they're doing it all over. They've been doing it in study all over Europe. There's no protocol directly to inject into your eye here in this country. That's not allowed yet.
Right, I know.
I don't know that you really have to inject directly into the eye because then you're changing a very delicate environment. But I think because I've seen results with patients that have diabetic retinopathy from intravenous and patients that have visual improvement that have Parkinson's and MS and other disorders when you do intravenous and nasal, I think you have likely the chance of getting benefit because those cells can get to your eye.
How far are you in Long Island?
It's,
I'm in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's about a half hour east of Manhattan. In other words, if you're you're not going with traffic, so you'd be coming, you know, in the morning or on a Saturday. So
if you're going
from Long Island to west, you'd hit a lot of traffic, but you're going east when the traffic is going west.
But you'd be able to see me about something like this?
Sure, we'd love to help you out. As I was saying before, we would do a real thorough blood test, you know, learn everything we can about you to try and maximize your understanding as to what's causing your issues or your problems.
All right, thank you very much, Doctor.
Another you're welcome.
Just
yes,
wonderful
ma'am.
Listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So a great research on vitamin D3 and prostate cancer. And I've mentioned this before. There have been many multiple trials where they've looked at, and they call it a meta-analysis, multiple trials on vitamin D and cancer. And low D is correlated with more risk of cancer. High vitamin D at 100 decreases the risk, based upon many studies, by about 77%. So this is an interesting double-blind placebo-controlled trial. Individuals who had prostate cancer, those who had oral vitamin D supplementation before, had a far lower aggressiveness of the prostate cancer. So I think that based upon many and probably 100,000 studies just on vitamin D alone, you'd see some pretty spectacular results with vitamin D protecting your body, enhancing your immune response. If I were to go on Scholar Google and look at vitamin D research or vitamin D benefit, I'm sure it would come up, you know, into the hundreds of thousands. So let's just take a quick look and see what we can find on scholar.google. Vitamin D benefits. On vitamin D alone, 3 million results. 3 million results on vitamin D research. I was way off the mark. I thought it would be 100,000 or so, but it's 3 million. And Scholar Google is the research arm of Google. It holds, I don't even know, maybe hundreds of millions of studies on vitamins and minerals and all medical research. So it's a great resource, and I use it all the time. But 3 million results for vitamin D and vitamin D benefits. So important to keep your vitamin D levels up high. And that's why we test vitamins frequently, because you want to keep your levels in the right range. CoQ10 and selenium are very good for people that have myopathy or muscle weakness or muscle pain and discomfort that have taken statins, the cholesterol-lowering drugs. Many years ago, a doctor friend of mine, rest his soul, Dr. Bernie Kasdan, was a great teacher and a mentor when I was in medical school and when I did my internship. At one point, I was thinking of working for him and maybe taking over his practice as, you know, he thought about retiring. But that didn't completely happen, but I was in his office with him, and he was talking to me about how these drugs were dangerous, and they'd lower the cholesterol a little bit, but they're not the safest things. And a drug rep came in just about that moment, and he was working for another company and was recommending the use of a binding agent that you would take in your gut. You know, you'd swirl some powder in liquid and drink that, and that would bind the cholesterol in your gut and lower your cholesterol, and it wouldn't affect your CoQ10 production. So this drug rep was talking bad about another company's drug because that drug was creating a depletion of CoQ10. At any rate, every now and then I think of years past and can pull back an interesting, you know, tidbit or a thought. So the reason why people get the muscle pain, weakness, cramps, damage to muscle, kidney, liver, heart, is because you're wiping out CoQ10. I think it also affects the brain too. So using CoQ10, of course, and getting rid of the drug, using something different, obviously makes sense. Now, this study says CoQ10 with selenium works great to help to reverse those abnormalities and those symptoms. So, and it can take a very short period of time for this to happen. This study, the patients started seeing results within the month. My patients see results sooner because we give them larger doses of CoQ10. So very important to understand that you need vitamins in your body all the time and for many, many, many reasons. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in, give us a call. We'll chat. Remember, we need to create a nutritional foundation. We need to test your body, see what you're lacking in with vitamins, correct those vitamins, and then, within a month, retest those levels to make sure that the vitamin levels are perfect. And to make sure those secondary things that vitamins will help have either decreased or down to normal range, including homocysteine, fibrinogen, C-reactive protein. So there's a lot to talk about once we thoroughly understand what's going on in your body. Once again, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC. Give us a call now. Do not wait till the end of the program. It's hard to take your calls when there's only a minute or so left or 5 minutes left. Some more great research on CoQ10 and LDL oxidation. CoQ10 protects your body. It's an antioxidant. It's a potent antioxidant to protect the bad LDL against oxidation, which turns that into a plaque-forming component. And research has documented that heavy metals bind to LDL and become a foam cell, sort of like a sticky cell that gets stuck to the blood vessel wall or get stuck to existing plaque in the blood vessel wall and can create damage. So, again, important to test your levels and keep your levels in the right range. Omega-3 fatty acids compared to a drug, metformin, on insulin resistance and lipid levels in adolescents. Interesting study. Now, there shouldn't be any adolescents in this country that have high cholesterol. Kids should not be obese here, but they are. In almost every other country I've been to, you don't see as many kids that are overweight as here, but I think it's all because of diet and too much fast food and sugar and salt and everything else. So they're talking about how the omega-3 fatty acids work really well to help to burn down the triglycerides and the lipids in these subjects and decrease the insulin resistance. This is one good comment, but I think when you want to burn sugar, burn fat, bring down cholesterol, triglycerides, bring down your weight, you've got to do four things. Cut the carbs down to 30 grams a day or lower. Eat something every 3 hours or so, so you're not as hungry, but it has to be food that's not carbohydrate. Chicken, turkey, fish, pork, lamb, soup, salad, squash, greens, nuts. There's lots of food to eat. Second is to do exercise. You have to do at least a half hour a day, maybe 45 minutes every day of exercise. It could be something as simple as walking around the block. And I like the idea, if you live in a square block or rectangular block, you know you see the corner. And you walk comfortably to the first corner, then faster to the second corner, then faster to the third. And as you vary between brisk and fast, your body's really going to burn sugars and fats and deliver all your vitamins, minerals, and hormones and oxygen. So that's important. Third thing is testing and correcting hormones that are low. A lot of people have low thyroid, DHEA, testosterone. So people that have low thyroid, and we've seen this in 18-year-olds, by the way, you have to get those thyroid levels into an appropriate range for their age. And as people get older, sometimes you want the thyroid to be in the range of a person who's 10 or so years younger, because then your body will have further benefits than keeping it at that range that you're expected to have as you get older, because then you're not going to get that much benefit. And then, of course, testing for and correcting vitamins. So, yes, using fish oil would be great. Chromium is great. A variety of things may help with your body's burning fat and sugars. Okay, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Dave in Flushing. How are you?
Too bad. I've been to the doctor, and they diagnosed me as needing a hip replacement. And
okay. How bad is your hip? Can you walk?
I'm ambulatory. They said it's going to be getting worse.
Hold on a second. So you can walk, and you have no problem going up and down stairs?
Sometimes it's getting painful, though.
All right, but it's not fully pain every time you take a step and you have to use crutches or you have to be in a wheelchair, right?
No, it's present, though.
All right, I'm just trying to get an idea of the severity of your hip issue. That almost, to me, seems like... I don't know that would meet requirements for them to be able to do hip surgery, because you'd have to have a significant requirement met in order for the insurance company to pay for a procedure, but that's neither here nor there. So have you had an MRI done of your hip?
Well, we had the x-rays.
X-ray is not enough information because it's only the outline of your bone. So
right.
It's only going to show, you know, the ball, the neck, the socket. You know, I think you really need to do an MRI because that'll tell you about ligament, tendon, cartilage, cuff, labrum. So the MRI gives you all the information as opposed to just looking at the x-ray.
Okay.
And then there are people who come in that don't want to have the anesthesia from surgery or don't want to have the surgery, and we might opt to do stem cell therapy for them. And the ones that we've done, we've had great results. You could even see videos of patients that we've treated and, combination of things, correcting vitamins, minerals, hormones, and patients who opt to do stem cells and have not opted to go for ankle, knee, hip, shoulder, or elbow or wrist surgery. I'm not saying every person that comes in, but you're telling me that you're able to walk and, you know, you're still pretty functional. So it may be that if the MRI shows you have, you know, cartilage wear and tear, that the stem cells might be ideal for you. And they're your cells. They're no drug, no chemical, no risk.
Bone on bone.
If you really had bone on bone, then you wouldn't be able to put any pressure on it, I think. So it's hard for me to say that that's a true statement without seeing your MRI. Because the x-ray doesn't show cartilage. And people think, bone on bone means there's no cartilage left. That's never possible. It's never possible for all the cartilage to dissolve or disintegrate. I mean, you wouldn't have any ability to move or move your leg at all. So I'd love to see the MRI. That would be the most important step.
So you think they should do an MRI? Or
MRI would be the next most important step. Do that first. We could get that done for you. You can get your primary care to do that for you. So I think the MRI has to be the first step. I'd love to see you. You can certainly come in. I'll go over with you and tell you exactly what's what and see whether we can help you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get away with without not doing surgery. I can walk, but I have to walk slowly.
I can tell you that I see a lot of people that have all stages of joint degeneration. And again, I need the MRI because I want to see beyond what the x-ray shows. And there are people who come in with a lot of pain, but there's a little bit of wear and tear. There are people who come in with very little bit of pain, but there's a lot of wear and tear. And of course, common sense would dictate if we could do something that's very simple and straightforward and doesn't require general anesthesia or, you know, surgical risk. And then there are people that I see that have bad outcomes from surgery, whether it's the anesthesia and they lose some of their, you know, memory, or they still have pain or limp. One of the patients that called in a couple of weeks ago had knee surgery, and he believes they put in the wrong sized knee replacement, and he hasn't been able to straighten his knee, and he's got a lot of pain. So he's got to have that checked out. But I would certainly love to help you out. Just give us a call at the office at 516-794-0404. And look at the videos on my website. You'll see patients that have had hip problems and ankle and knee problems and shoulder problems have had wonderful results. That's www.drcal.net.
Can I get the MRI from you?
I might be able to order your MRI. I don't know what your insurance plan would require. If you're Medicare, yes. If you have other insurance, then we may not be able to do that. But call your primary care and typically tell him how bad your hip is and tell him to do the MRI.
Okay.
You might be able to get that done quicker. And then, you know, come in, see me, bring a copy of the report, or have the MRI company fax the report to me, and we'll go over it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Look forward to helping you out. All right. 1-800-848-WABC. Give us a call right now. Don't wait for the end of the program. Let's go next to Craig. How are you?
All right. How are you today, doctor?
Great. Doing good.
I have an adolescent daughter, and the doctor said in order for her to focus on class better, they want to put her on a stimulus. And I'm really not a great fan of that because she's still growing. And I think that's kind of bad for her heart and organs that would develop if she's...
Well, you could look at all the meds that they use for attention deficit and look at the side effects from them. Some people start them and they can't take them. I'd rather look at it nutritionally and do blood testing for vitamins, minerals, you know, look at her absorption, look to see if she's allergic to things, because I can tell you, in thousands of cases, when people don't have enough vitamins like B12, they can't think, they can't concentrate. Some people don't have the gene to convert regular B12 into methyl B12, and that's important to make acetylcholine in your brain. So I'll do a nutritional evaluation first and an allergy evaluation to see whether or not those things are playing a role. In many cases, they are. You know, kids are much more allergic today than before. Why? Well, the environment certainly is giving us huge amounts of trees, grasses, weeds, and all that. But foods are not what they used to be. Foods have more chemicals in them. As I mentioned before, baby food has heavy metals in it. That came from a great study by Consumer Reports, a very well-respected, you know, publication. People are reacting to the GMO foods. So I'd rather learn more about the situation behind the scenes than to just throw meds.
I don't believe that her doctor has really studied nutrition.
Well, no, they wouldn't. Not in a million years.
Other than the 2 weeks in med school.
That's the joke a lot of us nutritionally oriented people, you know, pass around. You know, there's really no nutrition course. They tell you what a protein is, a carbohydrate, and a fat, but that's really basically it. It's never, and I tried to get through, I even tried to get to some of the schools to see if I could teach a course on nutrition, but they wouldn't have it. But, you know, school charters are what they are. So when you don't learn about that, you don't care or know about that unless you go and seek out the information. That's what I've done, you know, in 30 years. Look at every great course I could take courses, get certified in this, certified in that. But I think that doing the blood test for vitamins and minerals and looking at this way is the most important blood test you could ever do.
Okay. And I would come into your office and do that?
Yeah, sure. The office number is 516-794-0404. And take a look at the website, www.drcal.net. And you can speak to any of the ladies in the office, Danielle, Lynn, Donna. Mary just left, and we have Erica, too, as well. So How old is your daughter?
12.
Is her diet really bad or no?
No, she's a picky eater. So yeah. sometimes she'll eat and sometimes she'll just pick.
Yeah, picky eaters sometimes really have bad nutrient levels because they just want to eat foods that taste good. Fine. So I would do both the allergy screening and the nutritional. I do all that. That would make sense.
Okay.
All righty, give us a call. We'd love to help you out. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, do so now. Don't wait for the end of the program. We're almost there. Let's go to John in Warwick. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good, doctor. How are you today?
Good, good. How can I help you? How can I help you, John?
Yes, doctor. I'm very good. How are you today?
Great. Yeah, you have to listen to your phone. So, okay, let's go to Marshall in Westchester. How are you?
Hi, doctor. I'm a little nervous. First time calling.
That's okay.
Calling about a question I have. I've been on, my doctor put me on Atorvastatin.
Atorvastatin.
Right. 10 milligram. About yeah. 2 years ago. Because my level was close to the range, top range, were around 200, the overall. And right after he put me on the atorvastatin drug, the cholesterol went down to 150.
Well, the drug, you know, can bring your cholesterol down, but it also depletes your CoQ10, so I don't like that. I've never used, in all the years I've been in practice, which is a long time, you know, medications for cholesterol. I'd rather cut the carbs down, get people to do a little more exercise. Because when you cut the carbs down, your body's burning through the smaller amount of sugar, reaching the fat right away, burning that for fuel. Your exercise is going to make your muscles burn, and they need energy and fuel, so that'll help. And if your hormones are declining, thyroid, DHEA, testosterone, I'd correct that. And vitamins. So we don't use meds for cholesterol. We take, you know, people off. So that seems to make more sense to me than to taking a pill and creating other side effects.
Right. I've had side effects of dry mouth and fatigue.
Well, your heart can get weaker because without the CoQ10, your contraction can get weaker and you'd never know it.
And so, I wonder if with my annual physical coming up next month, if I should ask the doctor if he would recommend that I go on a CoQ10.
Yeah, even if they did, the drug will block that CoQ10 that you produce because that's the mechanism of the drug because CoQ10 is along the pathway in making cholesterol. And they're not likely to take you off the drug because they just don't know how or would not necessarily want to do that. So you need to have a more expansive approach. Look at your vitamins, your minerals, your hormones, do the exercise. Just as I mentioned, be able to get you off the meds and you'll get a better result without side effects. And we might even test you like an echocardiogram to see if you have a contractility of your heart, if your contraction's lower than it should be.
I do palpitations where my heart beats.
No.
It would
that can,
slow and stop once in a while.
Yeah, that can be from a number of things, including heavy metal exposure, but you really have to have that evaluated. I might even have you wear 3 pads on your chest, and you wear that for a week. It gives us a whole week, 7 days worth of your heartbeat, so I can see when the heart is irregular, if you're going for a walk or doing something strenuous, what your heart is doing, because that could capture over 600,000 beats of your heart in a week, but I would do that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you like, take a look at the website, drcal.net, or call the office. We'd love to help you out, 516-794-0404. Let's go back to John in Warwick. Hi there.
Hi
there, John.
How are you, doctor?
Yes. What's your question?
Sir, I've had about 2-year history of trauma to my right foot. It began with the sciatic nerve, and I had extended drop foot, and after that, a bad ankle turn. Was then diagnosed through an MRI as having a slight bone fracture,
mm-hmm.
and ligament damage. They put me 8 weeks in a cast, thinking mm-hmm. that would give everything proper time to heal. Since cast has been off, worst scenario ever. They've told me I have CRPS, or a complex regional pain syndrome. That's what they've all the doctors.
Well, I think that can occur when the mechanism of healing is interrupted or is injury, you know, occurs in multiple episodes. I think that in seeing patients with joint issues over years, whether we do platelet-rich plasma therapy where we take your blood, spin that, inject that in to help to repair tissue, or even greater would be stem cell therapy, where it comes from your body, we spin it,
and inject it into the ligaments and into the joint, you'll see repair. There's a great video on my website if you want to look at it, drcal.net again, and it's the second video down from the right. There are three rows, and the gentleman that's the second down wearing a, I guess, a long sleeve, you know, crew neck sweatshirt, fell off a scaffolding and damaged his shoulder and his ankle, and they needed to do surgery according to what they wanted to do, and they wanted to do surgery again and again, and he didn't want to do it, so he came to me, we did it, and he's had dramatic results. So he's walking and bicycling and doing everything he wasn't able to do before, and he had a really bad ankle and shoulder scenario. So you could look at that info, and that might show you that it may help you.
Well, I hope it will, because at this point, they've pretty much just written me off to pain management, and it's obviously an injury that hurts so much more than the initial injury.
Yeah, traditionally, doctors don't have a healing mechanism as part of their, you know, one of their weapons or one of their tools to fight your problem. But this is the greatest healing mechanism that exists, you know, in medicine or in health or in history of all, your own cells to help to repair damage in your body. But if you look at those videos on the website, there are people that have MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, stroke, every joint degeneration, that were exhausted, that couldn't function, diabetics that were non-diabetic after 2 months or so. So there's a lot of great information there where you can hear the patients say how bad they were and how much better they're doing. So I think that it makes a great deal of sense to do something simple and easy that doesn't really have risk to your cells.
Understood, and I'm looking forward to watching those videos. I greatly appreciate your advice.
Thanks, John. Good talking to you. Have a great day. Look forward to helping you out.
Thanks.
Okay. Phone lines are open. If you want to get your question in, now is the time. We've got a couple of minutes left. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you can do so right now. Let's see if there's any other tidbits we want to talk about. A vitamin B12 deficiency and high homocysteine. This has been ongoing in research for forever, but this is just another great study that talks about when you can't convert B12 or B12 is low, homocysteine elevates, causes plaque in your coronaries, can cause plaque in your head, in your brain, can damage blood vessels anywhere in your body. So the problem is most people don't get enough vitamins. B12 deficiency done in a big study, 86.7% of people were deficient in B12. It's horrible. So I think, once again, we need to test our blood levels for vitamins, put them in the right range, correct your body function, get the exercise on board, watch your hormones. If they haven't dropped much yet, okay, then we'll test them again in a few months. If they start dropping, correct them. We have to build, again, a healthy foundation for your body, which, of course, includes best foods, best nutrients, best exercise components, knowledge, learning, spirituality. I think you have to be a multifaceted person. And I like the fact that people say, hey, I read an article the other day because you got me into reading articles and I'm looking at research and I have a question about this article. And I read that article, I can comment on whether it's good or bad, on whether it's appropriately done research or not. So very important to get your brain stimulated into wanting to be healthy. So many people just forget about being healthy and they'll just eat whatever they feel like eating. And it's creating illness. It's bad for your body. You know, and there are some people who still smoke and I wish they wouldn't because you're putting 4,000 chemicals into your lungs. And it's another horrible thing. But friends, thank you for listening. God bless you all. Go to the website, www.drcal.net, drcal.net. The office is 516-794-0404, Garden City, 516-794-0404, Plainview, 516-433-3232. I'll be back live again Saturday on the amazing WABC. Bye-bye now.